For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
Two shows in the span of 1 month. I must be back.
Welcome
to all new, all different, but still all of the above. New version of the old scene. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on Facebook, just my name, Hank Thorpe. Hey, how you doing? Or you can look at our old new page, facebook.com/, I think it's still / all of the above radio, but it's all new, all different, all of the above. You can find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So, or at Hank, hey, how you doing? And you can always send me an email at alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. And you are more than welcome to go to HoneyFund and type in my name also. I'm not stopping you from doing that. So in just a few short minutes, I'm going to give way to the sound of my own voice as I interview my wife. For those of you who listened to the last show, I did a very long look, a long late look, at the All of the Above Radio alumni photo from my wedding. And it's a really fun look at as many people as were in the shot, and a couple of people I forgot to get into the shot. Actually, after the show was over, I looked at the photo and just kind of went through my memory banks and realized that there was two people at the wedding that I completely and utterly forgot to try to get in the photo, in addition to the people that I think already left. But that's for another time. I will be giving way in just a few short minutes to my own voice interviewing my wife. She, once upon a time, was merely a contributor and a girl I was interested in. And then she was a friend and a contributor. And then she became my girlfriend and a contributor. And now she's my wife and a contributor. Still, every now and then, trying to figure out how that one started at point A and we got to point B. There was a heck of a lot of little bitty incremental stops in there, as if it were a ruler with centimeters in between the inches. But we're here. And it's great. So, a large chunk of what we talk about, she's super duper cute and super curious. Anytime I ask her to get on microphone, and she says, "You think I'm interesting enough to interview?" I said, "Well, obviously. First of all, she was a co-host for a long time. And second of all, why the heck would I marry her if she wasn't interesting enough to talk to, on microphone or off?" But a lot of the things you're going to hear is kind of an interesting step inside of what wedding planning is. And a quick aside, the fact that I was not able to give you content over these last few months, anybody who has been any of you listening that have been a part of wedding planning, whether you are the tiniest part, a medium part, or doing the bulk of it, you know just how much time is of the essence. You know how much deadlines mean something, and how overly consuming wedding related things can be. A lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, a lot of follow up, a lot of crossing T's and dotting I's, a lot of details to get ironed out. And this is in a world, and whether you are a person who cares a lot about details or a little about details, there is always a lot to do. And I'm coming from a position where I had a basket of things to do. And even if you're I'm overstepping my bounds here and talking to all men for just a quick second. Even if you're a man who didn't do any planning whatsoever, you probably looked over every now and then at your soon-to-be wife and saw her either A, overwhelmed, or B, stressed out. It's a very intricate process. It can be as intricate as you want it to be, but no matter what, it's an intricate process. And it is very time-consuming. But if you do it right, it's very much worth it, as was ours. I'm not going to take up a lot of your time. I am just going to tell you, any questions you may have, there's a pretty good chance my wife is about to answer them. But you're welcome to email me, alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. I can funnel any questions you may have. And by the way, we do get to a conversation somewhere in there about her wanting to plan weddings for other people. And in the process of us going through this, I looked at her several times and told her, while she was still a restaurant manager, she was still working full-time in restaurants at this point, I told her several times over, she missed her calling and should somehow strike out on her own to see if she can become a wedding planner. I imagine there's a lot of legwork in creating your business and building the clientele and all of that, but boy, she would be absolutely excellent at it if she were to ever go after it. When you listen to her speak in detail, I have a feeling you'll feel the same way. So without any further ado, I'm going to step back and give way to my own voice as I interview my wife, Haley, as she tells you about what it was like to plan a wedding. I'll talk to you on the other side. Would you tell everybody out there in the listening world what it was like leading up to and then the moment where you said yes to the dress?
Leading up to was fun but stressful.
Okay.
I'd gone shopping, dress shopping 3 times with various friends. With varying levels of input at 3 different types of stores. Just really keep all my options open.
Mm-hmm.
A David's Bridal, a place where your people just pulled things off the rack for you, your friends and family. And a boutique that had a cap of $2,500 dresses was the most expensive one.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to all 3 of those, and there were some that were pretty and some that were awful. But just the act of putting on a wedding dress and taking it off and putting on another dress is pretty exhausting, especially when you had to wear a mask and it's hot in the dressing room and they don't provide refreshments.
Was that all 3 of the bridal stores you went to that didn't provide refreshments?
correct. Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody that gives you a glass of champagne or water or something. I think by the third one, I started bringing in my Yeti, my water and my Yeti. But, yeah, it was kind of hot.
You want to know what I learned?
Cumbersome.
You want to know what I learned about bridal shops? You need to make an appointment to go into one.
Yes, you need to make an appointment. You don't just wander into a bridal shop, babe.
These are the things you learn later on in life when you've just never been to a bridal shop and just wonder what it's all about. But that's apparently not a thing.
Nope, not a thing.
And
especially not if it's a snooty shop in downtown Frisco.
Also true. Now, Haley, how long have you been married now?
1 month and maybe 5 or 6 weeks.
Okay. So, the process of planning the wedding, how long did you give it?
We were engaged for 18 months. I didn't plan anything for the first couple months, so probably like 16 months of planning.
And what did you learn about weddings through wedding planning?
They're expensive. Everything's expensive. You're going to spend a lot of money, even if you don't want to, even if you think it's fancy and casual and approachable, you're still going to empty your bank account. So just get ready. Or spend very little money and have a not very fun wedding. That's maybe a bratty thing to say, but facts are facts.
Now, what was the thing that surprised you the most as to how expensive it was?
The catering. I mean, because we both work in restaurants, and I mean, I don't think I've ever been to a restaurant that was, maybe one or two in my life, that was upwards of $65 a person.
That wasn't steak.
For a meal. Yeah, I mean, like, there's a few restaurants where you can spend that much per person, but to be told that from one particular company that was the starting gate for any full service catering was $65 a person was very discouraging. I was thinking, we're gonna have to serve these people Domino's pizza and breadsticks, because if that's the going rate, then we are in over our heads.
So tell everybody about the triumph.
Well, I worked really, really hard finding a different caterer that would be less than that, but still delicious food, because we all know a lot of times wedding food is mediocre, just kind of boring, or kind of cafeteria-esque. So I, for several weeks, requested quotes from all different companies and all different types of menus, and thought about how we can do this more affordably but still have it be delicious and memorable. And so that was a lot of work, asking for all those quotes and talking to people on the phone and emailing back and forth. And then you got to tag in for the tasting part. Uh-huh. And try the top four options. And we ended up going with Lucy's Fried Chicken out of Austin, which was absolutely delicious, and including dessert came to about $25 a person.
And they pulled off the magic trick, by the way, of having crispy fried chicken, even though the restaurant they drove from the venue to their location where they were doing the food prep was almost an hour, I think.
Yeah, that's what everybody was, well, not everybody, but our restaurant people were concerned about.
Yes.
When we said we were doing fried chicken for the wedding dinner was, well, how is it going to be crispy? How is it going to be hot and crispy? And it was both.
So I will ask you this. What did you learn about your friends through the wedding planning?
I learned that it's good to know which of your friends enjoy talking about weddings and which ones get burnt out by it. It's good to know who has experience in recent years getting married and maybe like the same level of expectations as you? Because somebody could have a friend that just got married, but if they had different expectations or wanted to keep it more low budget, then they're not going to be the best person to ask or give actual numbers to when you're bouncing ideas around. Yeah. And some people have some people have more traditional ideas about weddings, and some people are pretty go with the flow, do whatever you want. I guess more of my friends were go with the flow, do what you want, and more family sometimes had some traditional ideas. Mm-hmm. Like when I had to explain to my stepmom what an event venue is. It wasn't a church or a courthouse.
Or a public park or anything of the sort.
Yeah. She said, what's an event venue? It's in the, you know what those two words mean? Like, that's what it is.
Now, I will ask you this. While two more questions I want to say about just the wedding planning itself. What did you learn? And I think you just answered it. What did you learn about your family from the wedding planning?
Honestly, that they honestly didn't. I would say the same stepmother sending us that video of how to save money on a wedding. And it was, don't have dinner, don't buy a wedding dress, don't invite that many people.
So
basically don't have a wedding. Basically that's how to save money, is don't have a... Oh, and then some of the worst advice ever, like book vendors and don't tell them it's for a wedding. Like, that's just terrible advice, because...
It's very shady.
Well,
practice.
It's very shady. Like, that's not a good relationship to have with the vendors, even if it is more expensive because it's a wedding service. Like, those things are more expensive because a wedding takes more work than a family reunion or a birthday party or something. Like, it's more expensive for a reason. If you really want to circumvent some quote-unquote wedding tax, like, go buy your cake from Costco and pay your uh-huh. caterer to slice it for you. Or, I guess, you know, pick up a catering to go and have the venue staff serve it for you. And then they'd never know it's at a wedding. But if it's somebody providing a service for your wedding, like, that's really terrible advice to try to trick them into thinking it's a different kind of event. So my stepmom did make a generous contribution, thankfully, but was also probably the one that I would not share much of what we spent, because she's very, very frugal. I was pretty grateful that my family really had loud attachments to anything. They didn't have a ton of, I mean, the list of family friends they wanted to invite was, I think, maybe, I mean, it was less than five people, I think. None of whom came to Texas anyway.
Damn it, Larry.
Damn Larry.
Why wasn't Larry there?
Larry would have been a fun addition.
We love Larry.
You know, none of the moms were upset, or at least didn't admit it to me, that I didn't wear a veil, so that's cool. I think my dad and mom were both excited to be included in walking me down the aisle, even though they're not married and haven't been for decades and decades. I guess I was pleasantly surprised that they were not super attached to some of the dated traditional things. And if they were, they didn't say anything, because guess what? We were paying for it, so.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
So what did you learn about yourself through the wedding plan?
Badass at wedding planning. People should pay me to do it.
Which you just led me into the next question. If someone were to offer to pay you, I won't even ask you. The question I have written here is, would you plan another wedding? Instead, I will ask you this question. If someone were to offer to pay you, what would you charge them?
I don't know. Sometimes a day, just doing the day of coordinating, can cost people like $500 to $1,000. So I don't really have a good, that was never on the table for us. Like, I love party planning and would definitely rather spend that money on, more booze or dessert or, something that added to the party versus paying a wedding planner. But I do have one close friend that used one. So I have no idea. I don't have a good frame of reference for that. Unfortunately, weddings always happen on weekends, and that would just kind of shift my whole routine. I mean, we have Saturdays off together, and guess what day people like to get married? It's Saturdays. So I don't know if it's a career path I'll ever explore more. Right now, I'm just trying to push my skills onto my engaged friends.
And by the way,
gently.
I'm just gonna cut in as you finish your answer. So the next time somebody asks you, how much would you charge to plan the wedding? The thing you need to do is look them dead in the face and say, how much you got?
Oh my goodness. I would not do that.
That
just adds to that idea that wedding vendors are out to take all your money.
But would you be worth it?
I mean, probably. We threw a really fun wedding, so.
There you go.
But some people are very overwhelmed by the planning. It is a lot. I mean, the knot is so helpful, and I'm so glad I used it. But if you look at all, 500 to-dos at once, it's really overwhelming. So you just have to compartmentalize and segment. And everybody has a different level of commitment and a different amount of time to devote to it. So it's personal.
So
you didn't ask what I learned about you during wedding planning.
This isn't about me. This is about you. You're the bride. So we shift away from the wedding planning. And if you would, tell everybody out there listening about your two showers.
I had a bridal shower that was Friends themed, like the TV show that one of my bridesmaids hosted, which was really sweet. All females, moms, sister-in-law, female friends, kind of a afternoon thing with some little bites and fun games and lots of presents, mostly cheese boards.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that everything you register for, like, probably somebody will buy it for you. I thought it was more like give them options and they'll pick, maybe sporadically people will pick something that speaks to them. But that was really, really fun. And the bummer about that one was that my mom got COVID and couldn't come down for it. But we had her on FaceTime for like 4 hours for the whole duration of the party. She introduced everybody to her plants in the sunroom. But it was very sweet, very kind of tea party-esque, girly and frilly and bridal. And then, are you talking about the couple shower?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. The couple shower was co-ed, as the name implies. It was really fun. My mom and stepdad and nephew came down from Missouri for it. It was out at a friend's house in Fort Worth, and they did a really fun travel theme, and all the foods were from different places that we've been together. There was pictures of us.
Except for Chicago. We haven't been to Chicago together.
No, I have been there, but you have not.
I was there when I was 11, so I'm not going to count it.
But a good excuse to serve a hot dog.
Very true.
With celery salt.
Hold on. What did they serve?
Hot dogs.
You mean...
Frankfurters.
You mean... Hold on. What did they serve?
I'm not saying it. You say it.
They serve glizzies.
Oh my goodness. You're not that young.
Not even close. Continue, please.
That doesn't make any sense. So the couple shower was great. It was very casual. Lots of people made the drive out to Fort Worth, and that one, instead of presents, we did a stock the bar party where we asked people to bring contributions to our wedding bar, which was...
I have since told two different people about this concept, so feel free to reiterate that.
Yeah, so my friend Emily saw it as an idea for, used in the context of a housewarming party, and people brought a bottle of liquor to like stock their house bar, but we just kind of took that to instead help stock the wedding bar.
Mm-hmm.
And ask for some specific beer and wine I don't think we asked for any liquor, right? Just beer and wine that we were going to serve.
Correct.
At the wedding.
Correct.
So, which turned out to be probably only, I don't know.
It was a drop in the bucket.
5% of the alcohol we actually brought to the wedding. But hey, it was something.
It was indeed something. And it was a great way to get people off the registry and to do a bit more of a fun concept. Mm-hmm. It's because who doesn't? I mean, there's always somebody who shows up to a party with a six-pack, or always somebody mm-hmm. that shows up to a party with a handle of vodka. Sometimes full, sometimes empty. Not. But for a party like that, that made so much more sense. Which, a question off to the side about the stock the bar and other ideas like that. How much would you tell, or what would you tell the people out there is the value of TikTok and Pinterest and Instagram in terms of planning a wedding?
So it's amazing, all the ideas that are out there. I mean, it's completely endless, the pins and the TikToks and I mean, Instagram a little bit, especially if you want to look at specific venues, or like you want to look at, say you're looking for a photographer and you want to look at some of their work. But it can also be dangerous because there is an endless amount of ideas and suggestions and fun things to do and different things to add, aka different things to spend money on and spend time and energy on. And a lot of planning videos I watched would say, you know, something I heard a few times over was like, when you are, say, a month out or something, you need to just turn it off. Like, don't look at it anymore, or you'll start second guessing things you've already done, or you'll start adding new things and stress yourself out more. I didn't listen to that. I just went right past that. So I was walking on the treadmill the week before our wedding, watching TikToks labeled what to do the last week before your wedding. And I did have to watch like 4 or 5 before somebody said something that I genuinely forgot about. Okay. But I was so glad that I watched all 5 to get to the thing that I had forgot to do.
Do you remember what that was?
It was get my ring cleaned.
Oh, sure, for pictures.
Yeah.
Very similar to when one of your friends said to me, as I was planning the surprise engagement party, make sure she has her nails done.
Oh yeah, that's a pact in our friend group that we've always made sure that whoever was getting engaged had their nails done. I'm the 4th one. Right? Mm. 3rd or 4th?
If we're talking whether it's the original 5 or the complete 6, there's only 1 left.
Yep.
So everybody else is married.
And he did not consult us, so he's lucky your nails were done.
Yeah, very true.
But they're always done.
There you go.
Yeah, so there's lots of things on TikTok. TikTok especially, I mean, that's like the newest one, but there was plenty of little tidbits and bits of advice that I hadn't been told or wouldn't have thought of on my own. Another brilliant one that I hadn't heard before I saw it on TikTok was to not put on a bra at all the day of the wedding, even when you're like getting ready or just hanging around the house. Don't put it on because it'll leave the indentation in your back. And then when you put on, if you're dress has any level of low or backless, those red lines are going to be in your pictures. So that was not something I had thought of or knew to do until I saw it on TikTok. So that was helpful. So I had a robe, but I just had like a pajama top on underneath it well into like 2:30 when I got dressed. So.
Which, by the way, there's probably some woman out there who is listening to this who will take this advice and say, oh my God, can you tell everybody about the bra and the wedding dress?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't worried about my boobs looking good or not looking good in the dress. I was worried about the level of support, and I was very frustrated and annoyed because everybody and their sisters said, after the dress is altered, you will not feel like you need a bra. Nobody wears a bra under their wedding dress. You won't feel like you need it. And then my dress was altered, and I still felt like I wished I could wear a bra under, but of course I couldn't because it was very low in the back. So they sewed in cups that were the equivalent of like what goes in the front of a preteen swimsuit, and it was like just negligible support, if any. And it was really stressing me out, and I was worried that I wouldn't feel comfortable on the day of, or I wouldn't feel comfortable dancing or doing different things. And I asked, thankfully, my friend, one of my friends who lives in LA and works at a bridal shop, I was, I ordered no less than 10 or 15 different products from Amazon that were backless bras and sticky bras and
boob tape
and one piece like undersuits that were backless, all these bizarre contraptions of varying price points, and they were all just one more discouraging than the next. Even the seamstress had asked if I wanted to do the boob tape, and yeah, that's a whole other story. We can tell everyone, but my friend who works in a bridal shop finally said, well, sometimes women just get a bra sewn into the front of the dress. So I went to Target, found just a cheap strapless bra that fit, dropped it off at the alterations, and, you know, told them to butcher it and do whatever they needed to do to put that in the front. And
let me just jump in real quick. So
much better.
So I dropped off the bra.
Sorry, you dropped off the bra.
And then it was, I think, a week. Was it 2 weeks later?
Yeah, I think 2 weeks later.
So it's 2 weeks later, and she shows up with one of her bridesmaids, her very, at the time, pregnant friend, and my mother. And they all whisk away to try on the dress with this newly sewn-in bra. And I'm sitting in the waiting room because it's hot outside, because it's North Texas. And I just remember within about 8 to 10 minutes of her disappearing into the fitting room, laughter, just lots of laughter. And in my head, I thought, oh, thank God. If she's laughing right now, that means everything went well. And I don't think it was but another maybe 10 minutes after that that you guys came out. So the fact that it was so quick that day completely signaled to me that everything was great and it was time to move on to the next thing.
Yep, we took it home and we were good to go, and it was very supportive and very comfortable, and I'm glad I kept asking around until I found something that worked.
And I never saw it.
Yeah, no, you never saw it, and I never saw your suit either.
There you go.
And I definitely didn't pick it out like somebody asked us. Somebody who didn't know us, but
32. Now, if you would tell everybody about your bachelorette party weekend.
The bachelorette party was also super fun. My sister kind of took the lead on that one, my sister and my maid of honor. And it was a girls' weekend in Fredericksburg, which is Texas wine country. It was, I love grown-up slumber parties, but staying at an Airbnb with my friends. And it was a big house with a big yard and a pool and a hot tub, and we all came in on a Friday, and they had planned out all the meals, which was fun. My sister and her wife made dinner for everybody on Friday, and she doesn't do anything halfway, so she had marinated steak in her hotel room the night before in Ziploc bags and made this whole... It was a fiesta themed, so it was a taco bar that she did on Friday night, which was really fun. And then Saturday was... Saturday, my friend Emily had made these awesome quiches and Tiffany made a cheese board, uh-huh. and so we all had some food in our bellies before we got on the shuttle to go wine tasting at, I believe it started at 11 a.m. It was either 10:30 or 11 that we got. I think our first tasting was at 11. I think we got on the shuttle at 10:30.
Okay.
And my sister did a great job with that, too. She picked out three stops that were all three wineries that I've been to Fredericksburg twice, and I'd never been to these three.
Nice.
So it was really fun to see some different ones that aren't, like, and they weren't, like, overrun with bachelorette parties, which is a real hazard in Fredericksburg.
Yep.
The first one was, I think, called Slate and Cellar, and it was, like, we were in a really cold, like, wine cellar, and everything had skulls on it, and several people bought t-shirts. You can guess which ones out of the group. That was really fun, and then I don't remember the name of wineries number 2 and 3 because I was drinking a lot of wine.
Success.
And then half of us tried to riot and go to a meadery after winery number 3, but the alpha females in the logistics kind of shut that down quickly, which was fine. So we went back to the Airbnb to snack and nap and regroup, and then we all got dressed up and went to a nice dinner at, it was out on a patio and it was beautiful and some really fun memories there too. And then Sunday, everybody headed home. I convinced one friend to stick around a while longer so we could hang out with the sisters a little longer and go to a brewery in town.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really, really fun. So three people flew in from it. For it, and then the rest were from the Metroplex.
Very nice.
And there's a really silly video of me wine drunk trying to still stay upright and participate in conversation, and it's time stamped at like 4:30.
It's as cute as can be. And for a bachelorette party that's, or for drinking at a bachelorette party that starts at 11, 4:30 is holding strong.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like you said, you rallied and you got dinner anyway.
Yeah, and I was just fine for the start of dinner.
There you go. Now, if you would, how would you be able to encapsulate the week in Bastrop, Texas, leading up to the wedding?
It was definitely a week-long party. It was a big party. It was a lot of fun, but also a good amount of real or imagined pressure and a lot of attention.
Okay. So real pressure first.
I mean, pressure to see everybody and give adequate time to everybody that flew there to see you and to be there for the wedding festivities. I was always a lot of times trying to make sure I was looking as excited or happy as I felt, and not, you know, make sure I was acting the part correctly.
Imagined pressure, just about the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Any favorite part of the week leading up to?
Thursday before we went to rehearse at the venue was cute. It was sweet because we said meet in the lobby. And we'll make sure everybody has a ride out to the venue. And at this point, all your people are there, and half of my wedding party was there, but seeing some of your people that only knew each other through the show
mm-hmm.
meet face-to-face, like the Emperor and, mm-hmm. AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting face-to-face for the first time, and, my sister seeing Chad, my friend from elementary school, for the first time in decades, and Chad seeing my mom for the first time in 20 years and me asking my mom to help walk me down the aisle because I hadn't told her yet because I was waiting to do it in person. And of course she cried. Steve trying to get everybody to take one big picture in the lobby, but I said, no, we gotta go. It was really fun, but it's, I mean, having eight on each side is, yeah, that's a lot of people to herd, so. And of course, once we got to the venue, Chris, the owner, was herding.
Yes.
And running the show, which was great, but yeah, I did not want to slow down for Steve to take a big group picture of everybody in that moment, so.
His intentions were good.
They're always good.
His timing was off.
I didn't want to be late. Because if we were late for that, then
yep.
there were going to be people at the brewery before we got there even. So, you know, usually you don't like the feeling of, and I know people kept saying to me, like, you're the bride, you can't be late. But, or like, you can't, nobody cares, is what they were implying. Like, party starts when you get there, you're the bride. But still, you don't like the feeling of people waiting on you. So, knowing they're, were people who were already going to be at the after party before we finished the rehearsal. I didn't want to run all of that late.
Having dominoes fall. I gotcha.
Yes. But that was a sweet moment. And then meeting your high school people at the brewery was sweet and overwhelming.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe them.
Both. And seeing other people's reunions too, seeing you see your cousin for the first time in years and different people that you had a strong reaction to seeing again. It was all really fun. Having that random lunch on Thursday.
Thursday was family.
Yeah, Thursday that started with me sticking around like, oh, I think my mom will be in town here in an hour. I guess I'll stick around, you know, go to lunch with them, which was like five of us, and then turned into, oh, Sandy's asking, your mom asking, asking if anybody's going to lunch. I guess we could go back and get her, which turned into, hey, these people will be in town in about 20 minutes. Just telling the server, I don't even know, just take people's orders when they're ready and don't worry about timing it.
And then at some point, somebody called me because I was at the Airbnb, right?
Well, I did because at that point, so much family was there. You were noticeably absent because it was now a table of like 13 or 14,
sure.
Including your mom and the woman you call mom too.
Yes.
And, you know, my extended family, who of course was excited to see you. So, yeah, at that point it was, okay, well, now I need to just go fetch Hank too, because this is...
For the record, I was not sleeping. I was, I had holed myself up to continue writing the vows. So, I was on assignment. I was just, temporarily pulled away from said assignment.
Yeah. We did have a little bit of tasking left to do the week we were in Bastrop, which... I mean, ideally would have been done before, but there wasn't really a ton of time. And one thing that I saw on TikTok pretty late in the game, but brought up to you on the drive down, which people loved,
by
the
way. People did love.
And it was not, I wouldn't say it was, on a scale of 1 to 10, the stress level was a 2.5 about that, which was the fun facts on the table about the guests at the table.
I'm glad I pled you down from the paragraph. The original thing you saw on TikTok was, if I remember right, it was a paragraph about each couple.
Yeah, it was more of a sweet, sentimental something to each person in attendance at the wedding. And your variation of a kind of mystery who did it fun facts about each guest was more fun
and much quicker
much quicker. But it was a great conversation starter. Like one of our friends said, you know, he likes to talk to people but doesn't always know where to start, so
yes,
it was
indeed.
He used something on the page as a jumping off point and knew what to talk to that person about.
Yes indeed. Yeah.
So
if you would talk.
So fun things can come from still watching TikTok in the week before your wedding.
There you go. And if you would, tell everybody, we're getting very, very close to the ceremony at this point. Tell everybody about the rehearsal dinner.
The rehearsal dinner was really fun. We did barbecue. That place was neck and neck with the caterer that we chose for the wedding. And the only, really the only deciding factor that we discussed was that barbecue for a wedding in Texas is a little bit predictable. It's what a lot of people do. But taste-wise and price-wise, it was all comparable. So we used this place for our rehearsal dinner, and it was great because it was only 5 minutes from the hotel and, you know, gave our guests from all over a real Texas barbecue experience. We had brisket and smoked turkey and lamb ribs and bacon-wrapped sausage, mac and cheese, coleslaw and potato salad?
Yes, and yes.
And then there were rolls and butter, and that was all great. Really, the hardest part that you had to take over for me was bringing in the outside beer and wine outside of what they served on the menu.
It was, for those of you wondering, it was standard fare for a barbecue place. Coronas, Dos Equis, Bud Light, Miller Lite, and you feel free to say whatever you want about that choice of beer. It will not be served with my name strapped to it.
Was definitely still feeling a little, you know, definitely a little stressed about everything that, about all the people and everything that would happen the next day. Did snap at one of our friends at the rehearsal dinner, to which I apologized, and then apologized again the next day, but was just a poorly timed comment on their part. So that happens. It's a lot. It's a lot that goes into planning these events and can get a little tense. But we had a great meal. We had three or four toasts?
Four in total. Your sister, then my best girl, and then my sister and my brother.
Yeah.
I believe was the order.
Mm-hmm. Those were all really fun and well prepared. If you're getting married, please talk to people about doing the toast beforehand. Don't just put people on the spot and ask if anybody wants to say anything, because that's uncomfortable and the toast won't be as good most of the time. So, yeah, the rehearsal dinner was really fun. Wrapped up at a fairly decent time, and you and your people went out, and I went with my bridesmaids to the Airbnb where we were staying for the evening.
And wouldn't have it any other way, correct?
Correct, yeah, I had no desire to. Well, and the place that I would have, the distillery that I really liked that I thought about, oh, that would be a fun place to go out. I had spontaneously decided to invite everybody there for like an afternoon cocktail before the rehearsal dinner, so that we got people there anyways, but I didn't have to go out after the rehearsal dinner because I obviously didn't want to drink a lot. And we had drank a lot Thursday and down the bars on Thursday and ended the night eating Whataburger
at three in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a night.
Like real Texans. So there was, the reason of, you know, getting married the next day, and B, the reason of having gone really hard the previous night, that were limiting how much I drank on Friday, for sure.
So this one is going to be as short or as long as you want it to be. What was it like to be the bride?
Oh, I don't want to do it again, ever. It's so, I mean, it's amazing and special and life-changing and la 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 la, but like,
starting from the morning of until the ceremony, just, what was it like?
I mean, the amount of times people ask you if you're okay, if you need anything, if they can get you anything, if they can carry anything, if they can help you do anything at all is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So many times they ask if you need anything or if you can do anything. Couldn't open my own beverage or carry my own chapstick. Nothing. I mean, it is fun. It's fun to be doted on, but it is a lot of attention for a long time. And I mean, honestly, I've been like the whole week leading up to that too. So, yeah. And I was still very nervous. I was really nervous about everything going according to the plan, according to the schedule, keeping things on track. You know, people being in the right place at the right time. You know, everything that I planned going well. So I was very nervous, more nervous than I thought I would be. It was more like a baseline of nerves with fun sprinkled in versus the other way around.
When was the first time on the wedding day that you felt relief?
A little bit when we did our first look before the ceremony.
Okay.
And then everybody thought we would be good after that, but then the nerves came back after that because then I still had to walk down the aisle and stand up there and say things.
Okay.
And I was nervous about falling or tripping or not saying the right thing or not standing in the right place. When I got up there, I didn't know what to do with my hands after I handed off my bouquet, and I was present, I was paying attention, but I was occasionally thinking, what am I supposed to do with my hands again? I should have asked this at the rehearsal, because just, like, my theater teacher called it the fig leaf, like, holding your hands down, essentially in front of your crotch, folded together.
That's, I was actually, funny enough, I was told that all the way back in 2010, it wasn't called a fig leaf. It was just, okay, and all groomsmen, you will put your right hand on top of your left. And I think the groom was the only one who had his left over top of the right because of the ring. And, but I have never forgotten that. And I will just default to putting one hand over top of the other whenever I'm in a wedding, which I have been in several, so I just default to that until somebody tells me something else.
At least the bridesmaids get to hold a bouquet. And
this is true.
I found myself wishing I hadn't handed... I mean, I know I was supposed to, but I wish I hadn't handed it off yet because I didn't know what to do with my hands. And I was also trying to remember where they said to line up our toes on the board and the stand in the...
So
stand in the right spot.
So I think we just figured out the next product in the wedding world that we can charge too much for as a wedding specific fidget spinner.
Yeah, I wish I would have brought a fidget spinner or a stress ball along for the week. I did not think of that.
So we've started to dip our toes in the water. How would you describe the ceremony and the reception?
The ceremony I would describe as very unique, very us, very individual to us, unconventional, fun, lighthearted, secular, but still sweet and sentimental. And the reception, I would say, was just a big party, which is what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So they were both really, really, both really fun. Everybody's entrances were great. You got to do your entrance and have your moment there. Your,
this is true.
Everybody look at me thing.
Which, by the way, I suggest to all men, if that's your sort of thing, it's not particularly traditional, as we've talked about, but that is something that you could do, is push the suggestion of having your own entrance. It's very traditional that the man walks out either with his mother, or he walks out with his groomsmen behind him like ducks heading for the pond. It can be a different way. It can very easily be a different way.
Yeah, I was, you know, fine with it. You're half of the party getting married, so if it sounds fun to you, why not? And I like that we didn't make our bridesmaids and groomsmen walk out in pairs with somebody they didn't know, which is also very traditional, but, I mean, why? Like, nobody, you don't have to.
And something that we've discussed, I'm into my 40s, and you're forever young, no matter what the number is, but we are all the better part of our friend group, our bridesmaids, groomsmen, all of them are married or very seriously paired off. So it's just that it's not a wedding in your early 20s anymore where somebody asks you to be a groomsman and you say, okay, are you going to pair me with the hottest bridesmaid? It's not like that anymore. And it was very much about the recognition of each person versus two people walking down the aisle, like you said, that don't know each other.
Yeah. And I've done that, and I happened to know the groomsman I was paired with, so he was a friend, and that was fun, but that would not have been the case with ours. So I was glad we broke tradition on that as well. I have no idea the actual duration of our ceremony. I mean, it was kind of, I felt like a space cadet and everything was blurry and I didn't know what was going on except a single bead of sweat rolling down my back all the way to the back of my ankle.
Yet another thing that the women listening are probably thinking, oh my God, that is so real. Or they remember a moment just like that. Now, what would you, if you could pick one highlight from the ceremony and one highlight from the reception?
From the ceremony, probably your vows.
Okay.
They were really good.
Well, thank you.
Very thoughtful and sweet. Made me cry.
Okay. I didn't notice that she was crying. I was too busy looking at the paper and holding the microphone, so I didn't see it. So she's saying it, so it means it happened, but I don't have any proof.
It happened. That's one of the photos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a photo of me crying.
It's a lot of photos.
There is a lot of photos. There are a lot of good photos. But
this is true.
Yeah, I think your vows, the things you said about supporting me but making me stop and look around and see what I've accomplished so far. I mean, it wasn't necessarily new information, but, you know, promising to do it till the end of time is new.
Excuse me.
And when you pulled out the to-do list, or Jay pulled out the to-do list and made me check off getting married up at the altar, that was pretty funny. You want to expand on that?
I'll get to that at the end. We'll keep on going for now. So, and what is your highlight from one? If you could think of one highlight from the reception.
Probably everybody being on the dance floor for is the song "Get Low"? Is that what?
Yes, from Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
Yeah, everybody being on the dance floor. Like, I was, like, we it had just been Lizzo, and I was out there dancing, having a good time, having a lot of fun with all the girls, and I thought I was going to, like, walk off and, I don't know, finally try the dessert or do something. And I went to, like, walk off, and then he started to get low, and I, like, made eye contact with the DJ, and he was just, like, looking at me like, really? And then my sister looked at me, and I was like, I'm not going anywhere. And then turn around and go back out on the dance floor and had a good time. Very reminiscent of high school dances or very, very early club days.
Because she's young, everybody.
Because I'm younger than you. I don't know. We can't
consider
young is relative, but younger than you, yes, is always going to be true.
This is yes, indeed.
So you just mentioned the DJ. So just whatever sticks against the wall. Just tell me what you thought about your final choices of vendors.
Oh, I don't have. Well, I would say that all of the vendors, if I gave them a letter grade, would be, I mean, A minus at worst. And my only tiny, tiny gripe, I would absolutely use them again in a heartbeat, but with my hair and makeup team that came to the Airbnb, there was a little misunderstanding about how to pay them, and everything feels more dramatic and stressful on your wedding day, and figuring out how to Venmo them when you thought you were going to pay with a credit card was just not on the list of things I wanted to give a crap about on my wedding day. And thankfully, I had, you know, a crisis manager from one of my bridesmaids, Katrina, who's awesome at handling any and all emergencies that came up. So she ended up, you know, being on the phone with the salon, reading off a credit card number, figuring up what the total was supposed to be, all that stuff. So that was the only, I mean, I have absolutely zero, and they didn't use waterproof mascara, and I found out when I cried at the Airbnb, but.
Okay.
So that's my, I would probably give them an A minus, but I mean, every other vendor we used, I would say, was, I mean, darn near A pluses across the board. They were all awesome. And not to toot my own horn, but like I kind of figured they would be because I did all the work on the back end of, or we did all the work, depending on which vendor it was, to find something that was both in our ever-growing budget and, but would also deliver a good product.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I had every confidence that our photos would be beautiful because we looked at several different photographers and we talked to two of them on the phone and we had already worked with them at our engagement pictures. And so I had every confidence that they would be good.
So you just let loose with one, so to speak, regret, and everybody walks away with some level, whether it's a very low grade or a very serious regret about their wedding. Do you have one?
The thing I have been telling people that I had never heard before that would be my new go-to wedding advice is that if you're doing a seating chart, which you should, side note, that's not even on the table, but if you're doing a seating chart, the advice and the etiquette that you'll hear is to place, you know, go in order of importance with the tables closest to you being your wedding party, then family, then rowdy or friends towards the outskirts, like where they can be loud and not be as disruptive. I wish somebody would have told me to consider what tables were in my line of sight from the head table. I would have swapped a table, well, just one particular table that was having, I would say less, but let's call it zero fun. Just not because it wasn't a fun wedding, but because of who they are as people. I would have put them where I couldn't see them. And there was a table of my bridesmaids, so of course very, very close friends, that on paper looked like it was close to us, but really I couldn't see them at all because it was directly to my right. So I wish I would have put them closer to the dance floor at, you know, at this spot that was directly in front of me at like 1 o'clock from where I was sitting.
Definitely.
No regrets about having our moms and their partners at the table. That was fun.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just getting ready to say, and your view, for the for those who are trying to get a bit of a mental picture of this, we were against a wall, and her view was basically the bathroom. If you were looking to the towards the bathroom, the first thing you saw was the table you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have had to look to the farthest right, basically through your mother.
Yeah, basically like turn your head all the way profile. Yes. To see this particular table of bridesmaids. But I mean, everybody tells you to sit there and take it all in and absorb it, and I was, but if you're like me and you're concerned about everybody having fun, it was a tiny occasional downer. But you did a good job of telling me to move on. Well, or to not think about it.
And if nothing else, when the thing I said to you is a thing I'll say again, is that everybody has fun in their own way.
Or they have no fun because they're not fun people.
I'll let you... I will hang out over here and mind my business as you say that. But you can't...
Some people are just grumpy frumps.
You can't puppet master your way through people enjoying themselves. If they want to be quiet while they eat... If they want to be grumpalupagus, that is...
Fun suckers.
That is their business. So...
But I don't want to look at them, so I wish I would have put them somewhere else. If you have anybody that you think is going to be an eyesore because they're not having fun, or that you have any level of strained relationship with... but has to be there, put them where you can't see them. That's my advice. No. But the other part of that is that we didn't really have to consider, or that we didn't think about a lot, was that there are older family members that have more weight in where they sit at a wedding and
sure.
might be offended if you put them somewhere further or somewhere they can't see you. So... I guess take my advice with a grain of salt. Be ready to make somebody mad necessarily if you do that.
And this is going to take a second because we had a lot of bridesmaids and groomsmen. But I want you to say one nice thing about each of your bridesmaids. And would you like me to name them off or you want to do it?
I can name them.
I know you can name them. I don't know what order you want them in.
Okay, just get, yeah, sure, give me a name.
How about Marissa?
And is it just about their personality or about their contributions to the wedding or...
Let's start with contribution to the wedding, but whatever comes to mind, this is word association, just first thing that comes to mind.
Marissa's the sweetest.
Okay.
Yeah, she's up there with the sweetest of people I know. Just genuinely nice and sweet and wants... good things for everyone. Wedding contribution wise, when I tore my skin up from the using boob tape on Thursday for going out, and I ripped some skin and had like this wound on my chest, she brought a cutting from her mother-in-law's aloe plant to rub on my chest the day before and the day of the wedding, which seemed to help and felt really nice. So that was very helpful of her.
How about Chad?
Chad taught us about art. Or he tried to. Chad's one of the smartest friends I have. And the person, aside from my sister, that I've known the longest, and one of those friends that doesn't matter if we haven't talked in a year, we can just pick up where we left off. So he was a really fun addition. It's also fun having a guy on our side. He sat down with his really impressive manicure kit at the table while we were all getting our hair and makeup done and, you know, tidied up his nails a little bit. We also sat on the porch talking for a good while when I didn't have anything else to do on the day of the wedding, so that was fun. Definitely a grounding, calm energy about him.
How about Megan?
Megan is one of the most sensitive people I know. but in a good way. Like, she's gonna cry. She's the easiest. I knew she would cry. I mean, I wasn't turned around looking at her, but I didn't have to. I knew she would. But she's also fun and really silly and definitely a tasker. Like, she wants to do things to help. She wants to run to the grocery store or help you carry the dress or do this or do that, which was all very, very helpful, very sweet. And she also likes to dance, which is fun.
How about Emily?
Emily is really funny. She was also pretty grounding. She doesn't get too, like, caught up in the fluster and the silliness of things. Trying to think contributions on the day. I know there was some. She didn't ask me how I was over and over again, which was nice. And she was on the dance floor at some point, so that's good. And her husband drove me to the venue.
Okay. How about Katrina?
Her fiancé.
How about Katrina?
Katrina handled all the emergencies and or was the my go-to between me and the wedding day of coordinator. So I already mentioned the thing with the hair and makeup. She's very calm and likes to fix things and likes to help in any way she can. So she, I'm trying to think, she did the thing with the hair and makeup. I'm trying to think what some of the other, you know, whenever we didn't get all the pictures done that I wanted beforehand, I was like, hey, can you make sure that we have, like, that they have, like, a new plan for after the ceremony? You know, what, where are we going? What's going on? And she definitely was the one to go tell the photographer, hey, we're getting antsy. Let's get the show on the road. So, and then I would like to, feel like she was pretty much off the hook after the ceremony was over. I don't think I needed much else from her, but, and she's so darn pretty.
All your bridesmaids. And Chad.
And Chad.
All pretty.
And Hannah.
We're getting there. How about Shelby?
Shelby just told me I was pretty all day because she could tell I was getting annoyed by the do you need me thing or can I do that for you? So she would just remind me how beautiful I looked at various points in the day. She's the most fiery of the bridesmaids, for sure. A fun jolt of energy to a group. She's going to say something that you're going to be like, oh my gosh, what on earth are you talking about? But it's usually entertaining.
Your matron of honor, Avery.
Avery handled one of the two meltdowns on the wedding day. You got to handle the other one. So Avery handled the first one. Also very calming energy about her and she's very practical. She's very, no matter what happens, you're going to be married at the end of the day. And, you know, so try not to stress too much about the flowers and the whatnot. She's also the most forceful in, like, taking my phone away, not letting me think about logistics anymore, things like that. But yeah, she did have to calm me down when I was overwhelmed in the middle of the day and went upstairs to cry by myself. And she touched up my makeup after that.
And
helped me go to the bathroom all day. I forgot about that part. For most of the day. I don't know. I was tagging in pretty much anybody in the last couple hours, so.
Which I didn't know that was a thing. Can we tell the listening world how you were sitting? Is that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the women know. Like, you, generally, when you're wearing a wedding dress, you have to use the bathroom facing the back of the toilet.
It,
because, like, there's too much dress, so that all needs to be behind you. So
picture, for gentlemen listening to this that are trying to like hold their minds back in from exploding, picture that when you were a kid on the swing set when you did the spider, one person was sitting the correct way and then somebody else would sit facing you with their legs going the other way. Like, you're the bride is the person going the other way. When I was told this, I just thought, what? I was just so shocked.
Yeah, well, it's, you can't fit all that dress between your back and the back of the toilet, so you face the other way, and somebody, usually a bridesmaid, holds your dress for you. Oh. So, and I was so hydrated. That's another thing Emily did was Emily and Shelby remind me to eat and drink water throughout the day. And I was very, very hydrated. I had water. I had emergency. I had coffee. I had one mimosa and one glass of champagne later. But I was so hydrated. I must have used the bathroom 9 times during our wedding. Yeah, you had to do the last bathroom because I didn't think I could get out of it before
I needed to use the bathroom. And finally, your sister Hannah, your maid of honor.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's a big, she's big on being prepared and thinking of everything, and also great at handling emergencies. Also good at, I forgot something Shelby did was run interference when people were trying to ask me more logistical questions after I said, consult your PDF. Hannah is really great at preparing for every possible scenario. She's good at, she's silly, but she also keeps things pretty calm. Much like you, tells me when I can or can't smart off to somebody, even though they absolutely deserved it. She's there to say, it's not worth it, move on, doesn't need to be said today, don't worry about it. So
it's not as fun.
It's so not as fun.
I know.
This is why I can send snarky messages when you're not around sometimes. That's... or sometimes I just, if I know you're going to say no, then I'll just not ask you. So, yeah, Hannah is a peacekeeper, for sure. And also really fun, also on the dance floor. Also, you know, having a good time with their family and keeping tabs on the one kid in the wedding. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good team.
Who is the first person that was not a bridesmaid that pops into your mind as a contributor to the wedding?
In the planning, I would say my friend Brooke.
Okay.
Who ended up not being able to come because I was so close to her due date. But she was a person that bounced a lot of ideas off of or asked questions about the planning process. For the actual week of, I would say, Billy and Jenna and Jacqueline and Giancarlo. In terms of non-wedding party, that did a lot. Billy hauled all the alcohol down, and Jenna fed both me and the bridesmaids and you and the groomsmen, which was great to just get to the venue, and there was a spread of sandwiches and chips. And because everybody says, oh, you won't eat on your way. You'll forget to eat. You'll forget to drink water.
My ass.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes the things people say go wrong, I'm like, well, that sounds like you just didn't plan well enough, because I had a bridesmaid in charge of making breakfast for us, and it was awesome. She brought quiches down that she made at home, and Hannah and the sisters made a fruit salad. So I had a bridesmaid in charge of breakfast. We had Jenna, who was putting lunch in both the groom suite and the bridal suite. And then, of course, the venue did a great job of putting food in front of us and specifically asking, what do you want on your plate? Do you want more of anything? She made me a plate of desserts too, but I couldn't be bothered to leave the dance floor.
Oh, that's why there was a plate.
Because she made it for me. I said one of everything, but I never sat down to eat it.
Just know that I ate it all.
Well, good. I'm glad it didn't go to waste. I actually thought about it later in the evening. I was like, I never went back for my plate of desserts. I'm glad the photographer got a picture of the dessert table, because I didn't see the table, and I didn't see a lemon water or a brownie. Well, I know I saw you eat one, but that's why there was a plate there. I forget what we were actually talking about. Hannah did awesome. They all did awesome. It was a great team effort.
Any last, you've already said one very big bit of advice to anybody getting married. Is there anything else you have dancing around in your head in there that you would say to the next couple getting married or the next bride planning a wedding?
I would say to have the party that you want to have. I guess I understand that gets a little bit complicated if, say, you're 22 and your parents are paying for it and they have a lot more say in it. But if you're paying for it yourself, you know, you can take into consideration other people's input or what's important to your mom or dad, but have the party you want to have. There's no, other than saying I do and expressing your intent to be married, there's nothing that has to be done at a wedding. Nothing that has to be done other than saying I do, and something to the effect of being there on your own volition. I looked this up.
You were.
Yeah, I was. And so were you. But other than that, there's nothing that has to be done. You don't have to have, if you don't care about a big dress, don't get a big dress. If you, Avery's older sister is a hairstylist and kind of jaded towards weddings just from being in the hair industry so long, and she got married in a swimsuit cover-up that was ivory and probably cost $30. And then they played disc golf the rest of the afternoon. We've had weddings that we've gone to that the groom made an individual, essentially a toast to every guest at the wedding.
Yep.
And we've gone to weddings. We just went to one that had a bounce house to distract the children.
Yep.
You know, we've been to ceremonies that are long and ceremonies that are 5 minutes. And guess what? Behind your back, some people are going to say, oh, that was so short. That should have been longer. Or, oh, I loved it. But people are going to think whatever they want, so you might as well have the party that you want. Unless it's a cash bar. Don't do that. I'm just joking. If people getting buzzed and or drunk is not important to you, then don't feel like you have to provide a bar. Just know that I won't stay as long. I'm just joking. Not only weddings early, but it's more tempting if you have a cash bar.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my advice, is have the, but it also makes it, honestly, it makes it a little bit harder to plan too, because if there are no rules and everything's an option, then you have a lot more to consider versus somebody saying to me, you have to get married in a white dress and it has to be, you know, whatever the rules are, or you have to do a cake cutting, or you have to do a bouquet toss, or you have to do a garter toss, three things that we got rid of.
Yep.
And my dress wasn't white and I didn't wear a veil, and you know, you don't have to do any of it. Take what you like, get rid of the rest, think of something on your own like you did with the entrance. There might be, you know, in 20 years we might look back at some things and be like, oh, that was really trendy and didn't age well, but whatever, it was the party we wanted and it was exactly how we wanted to do it. And it's paid for, thank God. We are not starting our marriage. I guess that's some advice I would give too, is if you want to do things big, just have a longer engagement so you can pay for everything or get creative or do whatever you need to do, but don't go into debt having the party you want to have.
So a few quick bits of cleanup. The way that I asked the questions to my wife,
we got done, we were getting ready to go meet some friends for a beer, and she says, oh man, there's two things I forgot. So one of the questions I asked, first person that comes to your mind, not your bridal party, that contributed. And her answer was fantastic. But she felt bad, and she wanted me to tell you all that while it may not have been the first person that came to her mind in that moment, one of the biggest contributions that was not a bridesmaid was her mom. And I can attest to this. One of the weekends, her mother and stepdad were out here. They had pulled out all of the cake plates and decorations and fake flowers, and at this point I might be making stuff up, but there was all sorts of cake plates of many of a few different colors and decorations. And it was funny because every moment that I thought, oh, this has nothing to do with me, yeah, it's my wedding, but I can go do something else. Oh no, it was time for me and the stepdad to have the tape measure out and to be holding something or to be measuring something or to be writing something down. This was definitely a four-person job, along with her nephew, who was nearby for moral support, of course. That's the first thing that comes to my mind in terms of what her mother did to help. If Haley were to come back on, which I offered her to come back on, she said, no, it's okay, just make sure people know just how much my mother did. That was a huge one. The dessert table and how beautiful it was, that was a collaboration between her and her mother. And then her mom actually, her mother used to be a elementary school art teacher, and she did all of the decorations and signs for our rehearsal dinner too. And I can only imagine there's a lot more stuff that doesn't show up in pictures. Probably a couple of moments of phone conversations and moral support and all the things that moms do, you know? And then the other thing she wanted me to make sure she cleaned up was the advice section that we talked about. She wanted to remind all of you listening that just because somebody is not a good wedding guest, it does not make them a bad person. Specific examples are not necessary, but we had somebody that we were kind of sort of leaning on to be a good, a dependable source and a good source of energy, and they were just kind of eh. They're not bad people, they're just people that show love a different way. And big occasions such as a wedding don't necessarily inspire people to be more, you know? So she wanted everybody to know that just because somebody is a bad wedding guest, it doesn't make them a bad person. So I have some personal cleanup I wanted to come with. So all the way at the beginning of the interview, when she talked about dress shopping, the story will not take long at all. So another time that her mother and stepdad were visiting, I had to work that day, but we all met at this little coffee shop up north, and they were all leaving to go to the Container Store. Because that's safe. Having a mother-daughter who love art and decor go to Container Store, really sending any woman into Container Store, that's just dangerous. And then you send two women that are going to enable each other? Oh, dear God. Anyway, so I left because I had to get ready for work. But I was walking back to my car, and I saw a bridal shop. And I just said, oh, I've never been in one of those. I wonder what this is like. So what I learned, like I said, as we were chatting in the interview, is that you don't just walk into a bridal shop. you make an appointment, and chances are you have to have the bride-to-be with you, otherwise it's just kind of weird. These are moments that, in the midst of wedding planning, you learn. Because, as one of my very good friends has said previously, you don't know until you know. And unless you were to have worked in retail or have been intimate with the wedding planning process, I don't know how I would have had the, other than just common sense in general, I don't know how I would have had the thought of, oh, you have to make an appointment to go to a bridal shop. They don't just take people in and show you around and tell you about it. You walk into a nice boutique wine store, they are happy to bring you in and tell you all the nice things. You walk into a expensive boot store, they are happy to tell you about which ones are ostrich and which ones are alligator and take your money. Bridal shop? A little different. And you know what? That's okay. I learned. So, another little bit of cleanup I wanted to share with all of you. This is an anecdote that actually came from the wedding week. I want to say it was the Thursday before the wedding. The families are starting to converge and more people are starting to get into town. And so we sit down with a whole bunch of her family and my mom and my second mom. And the table is quiet, and her uncle, who is the officiant, he says, "Hank, I have a bit of a bone to pick." I said, "Okay." He says, "So I was listening to one of your shows, and the introduction to your show, the guy says, 'More Passion with Fabio' on the cover." I said, "Yeah, and?" He says, "Yeah, that's..." And he says, "You're of a certain age. You should know that it's Fabio." So, first of all, whether or not he's right is not the point of the story. And I was not going to give him the benefit of telling him whether he was right or not. I purely went into a more fun version of Potato Potato and just went into my best Hermione Granger impression and said, "It's not Leviosa, it's Leviosa," which got a good laugh from the crowd. It's nice when you make a Harry Potter reference and the room gets it. The whole table laughed, so I felt very good in that moment. That's not to say that he's wrong or right, but you know what? Wingardium Leviosa. So long as you swish and flick properly, you still get things to float. Swish and flick. That's the key. And you know what? The fact that my good buddy the Emperor tells you how much passion is in this show, that is what is more important. And people of a certain age knew exactly what we're talking about. That point was not missed either. So I'm going to leave this next part up to you. I'm going to ask you of the listening audience, I'm going to ask you what you think. Do you want me to answer all of these questions? The way that I wrote the questions to interview Haley, my wife, I could very easily flip the script and have her interview me, or I could just interview myself and just answer the questions. But really, I don't know. I can go back into the lab and figure out other shows to write, other bits of content to bring you. I don't know that my opinion is that important. Or will it be that interesting? I can safely tell you that I did have things to do with this wedding. There is a lot of times you will hear a woman say that the husband didn't do much. that is not my role, that is not my, that's not, in something that involves two people that is so big and so all-encompassing, you really should, as a man, have an opinion and want to offer your opinion, or at least offer help to get the next thing done. Because this is a big process. I cannot express to you, even if you want to make it small, it's still a big process. And me? I had my hand in several jars. So, I mean, if you want to know, I'll tell you. But I don't know. So I'll leave it up to you guys. allofthe.aboveradio@gmail.com. If you really want to hear what my thoughts are, and you want to hear me answer the same questions that I asked my wife, Haley, I'll do it. I'll do it with a smile on my face. Until then, I'll go back to the lab and I'll figure out what's next. And I promise you guys, by the way, I promise you that not every single show over the next month is going to be related to our wedding. There will be more concepts coming down the pipe, I'm sure, but not all of them will be. We will return back to our regularly scheduled program really, really, really soon. And by the way, for those of you who have been patient enough to wait for the new content, I say thank you. And I'm struggling, by the way. I'm struggling with where is the proper place to sit in my home to make these shows happen. And if you listen to the brand new Ferrari parked it when I bought it episode, I have a brand new microphone. I have all sorts of stupid equipment that I could figure out and get on YouTube and or talk to an audio engineer. But man, at the end of the day, this $100 microphone, this 12-year-old computer, and this $150 editing program have done me well to at least get you content. I could bring you content that sounds better, but I have no idea when the hell I'm gonna get all that crap plugged in and get somebody over here to tell me how to use it. I swear, in a world where my wife and I, there you go, my wife and I have a larger home, and see, when you have a home, there's a reasonable chance you have everything you need in that space. But you also see a world where you sure as hell could get more space and fill it really fast. Because we have talked about the idea of having not a man cave, but a sports den, because she is a huge Chiefs fan and has lots of memorabilia from when the Kansas City Royals won the World Series back in 15, and Lord knows I've got giant stuff coming out my ears. We've talked about having a sports den. We've talked about having a yoga room for her. We've talked about having a studio for me. Boy, if I could have a little bitty room in the next place we live that actually has the sound dampening stapled to the walls and have that big ass microphone and the mixer board set up. Oh my goodness, it would be amazing. Or do I just sack up, spend the money on gas, and start driving back to Fishbowl? I'll take your opinions on that too. allofthe.aboveradio@gmail.com. Or message me on Facebook, the old school way, HANKTHORPE on Facebook. I've left you a lot to think about. And Haley has left you a lot to think about. I hope you were entertained by that interview. You could tell as she started to get into it, she started to
She was, because like I told you earlier, she was nervous about thinking she was going to be interesting enough to talk to about it. She sure as heck is. And once she got into it, she started to have fun talking about it. So we had fun doing it. So I hope you had fun listening to it. We will do this again soon, I assure you. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. My name is Hank. May there be a next time. I say till next time.